If we have visitors and new family who are just visiting this morning, won't you wave at me, give me a quick little wave just so we can say, how's it? There we go. We got some family, friends. Wonderful to have you. You got the best seats in the house right there. Gee, that's a good job. Well done. But really wonderful to have you with us this morning. This is a great family occasion, and these are amazing moments. My name is Mark. I'm a part of this cool team that have the privilege of leading here. And this is not a cigar-smoking voice. Or if you do enjoy the odd cigar, that's wonderful for you. I think I've been caught out by the Cape Town bloom of spring. And something has got in, but it's all good. Oh, are you excited? Yeah. This is a radical thing. When people say, actually, I used to be a bully, but now I let Jesus fight my fights. It's a radical thing. It is a radical, radical thing. When people say, I was actually drug addiction for years and years, but now Jesus has set me free. He's put me in a family. Wholeness will come. It's a radical thing that this world cannot understand. You know what? They'll see Jesus in it. When men say, I've actually been struggling with alcoholism for ages, and I found love and I found grace, we've got to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. We have to stand amazed that this song that we've been singing, what's it? I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget. Chains are broken, lives are healed, eyes are opened, Christ is revealed. That's the life. I'm speaking on the kingdom life this morning, but that's the life. The chains are broken. Chains in marriages that are keeping partners. Chains in relationships. Just chains. The enemy is a liar, a deceiver. He holds people. He puts chains around people. But the gospel, the goodness of God breaks those chains. That eyes are opened. I desire to see more eyes opened. I've seen it. Not enough. I've seen ears opened. I was more surprised than the other guy. Trust me. But that's the goodness of God. And Christ is revealed. The biggest picture of all. Greater than eyes opened, ears opened, greater than anything. See, signs and wonders point to Jesus. The greatest signs and wonders are sons and daughters walking in their sonship and love of the living God. It's an incredible thing. Is this going to be all right, my voice? Are you going to make it? I'm not trying to sound like Barry White. If it works for you, take it. I have been accused over the years of sounding a little bit like Barry White. Gabriel. But we've just had an incredibly exciting week, obviously building up to this moment. And then tonight, if you are here this morning and you say, actually, I'd like to be baptized, we're going to do it again tonight. So you're welcome to come. Why don't you pass me your water? But this has been a radical week. Quinton and Louise went to 3CR. And just in the interest of time, they're changing at the back. They were the ones dunking in the pool. So they had an amazing time up at 3CR. I spoke to Rory Dyer. Okay. No more distractions for you. Stay here. Yeah, not you. I spoke to Rory Dyer, and last week they told their testimony. So he spoke about the power and the test me, you know, and in Revelation it talks they overcame by the power of their test me. This week that he's talking about, they overcame by the blood of the lamb. And they've got three lambs on the spit in their meeting right now. While he's preaching, people have to sit next to a lamb on the spit and try to stay focused. But it's just, we got to celebrate that God's done amazing things in and through. This is his community. This is his house. He birthed it. He's used amazing men and women in the process, but he's done it. And we have to give him glory. And we have to celebrate what he's done. And I just want to celebrate a little moment. Wally and I were up in Joburg last week with mates. And they were here for our handover, been a part of the handover process here. But at the Church of the Great Steeple, actually the Church of the Good Shepherd. I prefer the Great Steeple. They don't like it so much, but we do. But they had the handover service last Sunday. And we had the privilege of being there with ministry partners and friends for over 20 years. And just to see what God is doing and celebrating and releasing men and women into new areas of ministry, it's really cool. And I have a special friend this morning. Her name is Jean Holloway. She'd hate me to embarrass her, so I'm not going to do that. But about 3 years ago, I went away with some mates, and their wife said to me, actually, why don't you pray? We were in ministry. We were meeting dinners a couple times a week. We had a small boy and another little boy on the way. And this lady encouraged us, why don't you pray for someone who you can love and they can love you? It's not just someone just serving you. Someone you can love. Have in your home. And God sent us an angel. who helped us. And just moments, we could phone at any moment, just say, Johnny, can you take the boys? We're under pressure. And we would just phone, and she took them, and she loved them. And I don't think she's ever moaned once. And so we've got her down with us just to spend a bit of time with us. She's missing our boys radically. But, Johnny, we love you lots. So. And just three quick announcements before I begin. The first one is this. Wally and Shirley Gersmaier, who have been sowing and plowing for 30 years, are due for a little break. And it's not going to be a break where they're going to sit on their bums and just park off. This is a thing that has been spoken about from the beginning of the discussions around the transition. From that time, this was one of the priorities. And Wally fought me a little bit at the start. Remember, Wally? He said, I can't be away that long. No, I need to be there. No, Wally, you need this. They have got many years of amazing ministry ahead of them, both in this church and in other communities around the nation and the nations of this world. But we're sending them on an adventure. The first part is rest. So they're going to rest. I trust. That's the deal. They're going to rest and get strong physically, emotionally. This job has amazing privileges. It has some challenges. And when you've dealt with losses, you've dealt with people's pains for 30 years, every year, it takes a build-up. And sometimes you just need to allow some time for God to just do that. This is not unprecedented in the world. In academics, they go on academic sabbaticals. Old, what's his name? Richie McCaw and Dan Carter go on rugby sabbaticals. So we're going to do it with these guys. The first part is rest. The second part is resource. They're going to be studying. They've got a whole bunch of material they're going to work through. They're going to be reworking some of their material that they use in other churches when they go and minister. And I trust that will greatly resource the nations. And the last part is called reboot. I don't know if you know reboot. When something just needs a fresh thing, you just hit the reboot button on the back. And it's just everything functions 100% again. And part of that is we're going to send them to two friends of ours, two communities in Durban and two communities in Joburg, who are going to speak into their lives on a personal level, who are going to speak into their ministry philosophies, who are going to challenge some stuff, who are going to encourage some stuff. And we really think that the greatest beneficiaries of all of this will be us as a community. So we're going to miss them. Can I ask this? This is an intentional thing. And can I ask if they have been your go-to pastors, your go-to moment people, can you give them some space? I have to ask that. Because I've done this, and we've been a part of this in other communities, and it's not always worked well generally because he's a pastor. If you phone him and you tell him that you're struggling, he's going to get on his knees and pray for days. I know it. So my part of my job is to protect that. They need to get strong. They are strong, but they need to get rebuilt for a great future together. So is that good? Understand, we'll talk about it a bit more. But we got them for 3 more weeks. Wally's going to minister on the 4th of November, morning and evening, and speak into us, but we love you guys, and we celebrate this. And just 2 more things, announcements. On the 30th of October, 2 weeks' time on the Wednesday, we are going to have something called United. And really what it is, we are not shutting home groups down. We're just going to meet together, all the home groups here. And if you aren't part of the life of a home group, can I encourage you to come? These are going to be family, community moments where we spend time together. We're going to have free coffees on the house from 6 to 7. It's not a drink as much as you can. I can check all the coffeeaholics. Yeah, I'll be a 4:15. I'll be early for church for the first time in ages. But the coffee's going to be pumping. And then we're going to spend an hour just in prayer and worship together. I don't really know what the agenda is, but prayer does something amazing. God builds unity, communities, and power when we come together in prayer. We're going to fight for some situations. We're going to fight for the future. And we're just going to worship our God. Is that good? So the implication of that is home group leaders, we are having a leaders meeting the next night. Now I realize that's 2 nights in a row. I also know you won't have to prepare much for United. Your homes will be left tidy. No one's going to use your toilet paper, your sugar, your milk. And but if you don't come to the leaders meeting, can I really encourage you? It is a new day, a new season. We're going to share some stuff together on the Thursday night. If you're part of that forum, it isn't open to everyone. Unfortunately, it's for the leaders in the community, so we can speak into some things. But that's on the 31st. So that good? Wonderful. So D.L. Moody says this, as we continue with taking higher ground, as we continue through the Lord's Prayer. Yes, Jerry, we're still going through the Lord's Prayer. We're only on line 3. And I saw your face on the TV quite a bit there. Did you see that? And we're still working through, and God is taking us high. He's taking us into new places, new ground, and we're saying, thank you, Lord. And he's revealing things like fatherhood of God. He's revealing the intimacy of that relationship. He's revealing, actually, God, help us, enable us to keep trusting you, keep holding on to you. And then we spoke about thy kingdom come last week. We're going to use that word a lot, the kingdom. I realize it's a word that's not used a lot these days because we don't have too many kings in power. But it is a Bible word, and it's a Jesus word. And it's a radical dynamic that gets thrown at us. And the first thing we spoke about is it's a challenge to us that we would pray. It's the hard part of this prayer. So God says, pray, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But what we're actually wanting to pray is, hallowed be my name, my kingdom come, my will be done. Give me today my daily bread. And it's amazing. D.L. Moody says, the smallest package in the world is a person wrapped up in themselves. It's quite a challenge to the world. For preaching, I think much of the church is accommodating this, is preaching into this, is saying, actually, you are at the center of the world and Jesus is here to love you. But you know what the big picture of the gospel is? Jesus is at the center. Jesus is right in the middle. Why do you think this pool's in the middle? Because Jesus is in the middle of everything. And he is the blazing center. And yes, we do deal with the individuals and he does go after the one. But the big picture is he is burning and blazing a glorious light. And so we center around him. And we don't buy into cushy Christianity where we're driving through a McDonald's and we say, I'll have a little bit of prayer meeting, I'll have a little bit of this, I'll have a little bit of Jesus, but I don't want suffering and I don't want challenge and I don't actually want people. Had someone confess to me this week that they prefer dogs more than people. Not going to tell you who that is, but their husband's name is, no, I'm not even going to do that. But Jesus can change that too. And we ended on this picture at a silly Bon Jovi concert, pushing into the Golden Circle. Remember that? I know Gabe preached last week, but I'm trying to get us back to where I left off. We're pushing in to the King. We're pushing into his kingdom. We're pushing in to lives being changed, to eyes being opened. We're pushing in to God breaking into marriages and bringing wholeness. We're pushing into relationships between parents and children breaking open because Jesus is revealed. So that's where we were. And we carry on today. And I'd like to speak about this kingdom life. Well, how do we do that? Because so many people leave that at the doors of the church. Walk in, whoa. Walk out, whoa. There we go. The big transformation that happens every Sunday. And I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I've done this. Well, there was a photo that my friends at Glenridge celebrated as when I was 19, 20 years old, playing a lot of rugby, doing a little bit too much juice. Not juice. Creatine. Creatine. It is not steroids. That just came out like that. I need to be baptized again. Okay. Now we're having fun. I have not done juice. I like juice. Orange juice and mango juice. And those kind of juices. But there's this kingdom life that starts with a king. And the implication of the kingdom is that there is a king. And the challenge is we cannot live as a church and as a community of God like there is no king. We cannot choose what to submit, where to submit it, and how to bring it to him. In Matthew 16, Jesus speaks about the keys of the kingdom. He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. It's a kingdom of power that we begin to enter into this life, the kingdom life. The life where our grid for life and vision for life is seen through the kingdom eyes. We see power released. We see eyes opened. We see businesses turned around because God speaks. Had a lady come to me this morning and say, actually, she couldn't sleep last night as God was speaking to her at 12 o'clock. I pray for more rivers of revelation like that. I want that. I want to be woken up in the middle of the night by God as he speaks, where all other voices are silent. And you know, the keys, we don't know exactly what those are, but I believe the start of those keys, and I believe those keys are found in the heart of man and the heart of woman. That's where the keys are found. We're going to read a scripture quick, Matthew 6, and Gabe is going to come read it for me.
try and keep my voice from squeaking. Sorry. Just got to take the moment, you know? Take the moment. Matthew 6, verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble."
That's a scripture, huh? Jesus is on sermon. He's doing the Sermon on the Mount. In your Bible, it's just a whole bunch of yellow, red letter print. As he's speaking to his disciples, he's putting his life into them so that they can go and take that life. And he comes to this thing, he says, do not be anxious. Why? Well, because they were anxious. I think, well, how can these dudes who just walk streets, Jesus said, come, surely they just left. No, they had businesses, tax collectors, fishermen. They had family who were going, where are you going, son? What are you doing? You don't even know anything about this guy. Have you Googled him? And they're worried. They have futures. They had homes back home that who's looking after, who's protecting? They had anxiety. And he speaks this word to him, says, do not be anxious about your life. What are they anxious about? He says, well, actually, even the birds in the air, little birds that fly around, they don't sow and they don't reap. They don't do any work. But am I not God? Did I not create them? Did I not pour life into them too? And will I not look after them? And do they not get fed by me? And then he says, look at the lilies of the field as they worry about clothes and material things. He says, I clothe those lilies. I clothe them better than Solomon, the greatest king ever, was ever clothed. I did that. And then this amazing line, are you not of more value than they? See, right at the center of this glorious gospel is value. Right at the center is a creator who could have wiped this earth out and done it again, but he saw value in his creation. He saw value in his sons and daughters. This world is losing value for that thing. In 1809, a slave would have cost $40,000 in equivalent terms to today's money. And I hate slavery, but it's a reality in our world that it still exists, unfortunately. And the average price of a slave today is $90. A human being sold into slavery. This world does not understand what God understands. As Jesus said, are you not of more value than the birds of the air and the lilies in the field? Are you not of greater value? And when he looks at these lives, years of drug addiction, just thank those men and women for their honesty, Carl. Thank you. Years of lives that actually, if it was what we deserved, they wouldn't be dunked in a cool pool today. But because of Jesus, because he saw value, we've got to ask him, God, reveal the value that you see. He says this thing, because of value, and he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's at that point that my sonship meets the orphan reality that I was before I met Jesus. It's at that point that two worlds collide every day of my life, not just when I gave my life to Jesus. It didn't all just happen there, and now I walk in the fullness of sonship every day. Every day there is a tempter. Every day there is a deceiver. Every day the Satan would come and speak lies. Are you of value? How much value are you? Oh, but I've done this. My value's coming out. No. Take Jesus' eyes. Take the Father's eyes. Lenses. Put them on and look and see the value. It's a radical thing. Even within the church, some would hear Carl's story and say, 29 days clean, come back to me at 60 days, come back to me at 120 days. And Jesus is just going, yes! Every day, every morning. And his mercies pull over that man every morning. And are there going to be speed bumps? But we'll be there. Will the liar come and deceive? Yes, he will. That's just the dynamic of the kingdom that we live in. But victory is for sons and daughters. And it's a radical, radical thing. So seek ye first. It was such an amazing thing. I've been speaking to Johnny Roberts every now and again along this journey with this little one in hospital with all sorts of things in them. Been speaking to Johnny. You know what Johnny keeps telling me? I say, how are you, Johnny? No, I'm fine. But let me tell you about Carl. Let me tell you how Carl's doing. I'm phoning Johnny to see how he's doing. All he cares about is the kingdom and sons of God. It's radically challenging. And I say, God, let me seek the kingdom first, please. Let all other kingdoms come crashing down. See, it's bigger than church. The kingdom, the church is the bride. She's beautiful and she's at the very center of the kingdom. But it's much bigger than church meetings. It's much bigger than prayer meetings. It's bigger than home cells. It's the kingdom of God coming in our workplace. It's the kingdom of God coming where our children go to school. It's the dynamic of heaven breaking in every area we go to. This is Christian living. This is kingdom living because there's a king. And all authorities and all domains are under his authority. And he sends us out as ambassadors full of power, full of authority. Because he sees value in you and me. It's a radical thing. And it's bigger than our natural understanding as we spoke about the kingdom of God. Yes, it's come. Yes, it's coming. Yes, it's delayed. Jesus said all of that. And he said this thing, it's a mystery. Sons, daughters, can you live with mystery? I struggle. God, why? How come I prayed that once it got healed, the next time it didn't? That's my journey with God. That's the mystery of the kingdom of God. And it keeps me on the front foot pushing in to more of him. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. You know, the reality is, in some ways, that statement doesn't work because his righteousness has been imparted to me. His righteousness has been given to me. It's been washed over me. So Paul writes this in Romans 3. He says, but now apart from the law and righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So he says, actually, righteousness is apart from the law now. He says, our righteousness is not determined by our obeying of the law, but due to Jesus. He says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Saying there's one. There's just one. It's our trust in Jesus, not in ourselves, that he imparts his righteousness. That there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. Can I say there's no difference between someone who's never had drugs and someone who's lived on drugs for 30 years? There's no difference between someone who's been in the pit for year after year after year to someone who's lived on the hills in the highest places of our cities. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And all are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. It's a radical thing that Jesus is, we can never be perfect. But Jesus says in Hebrews, actually, we strive. We move forward towards perfection to be like Jesus. That scripture has completely blanked on my mind. It's quite an important one. But I'll come back to it because it'll come back. And he says, actually, it's perfect righteousness because of Jesus, because of his death. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. But there's a part to play as we walk. His righteousness is imparted to us. But he says, repent. Keep repenting. Changing of your mind. He says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Make yourself and allow yourself to be conformed to his ways. It's got nothing to do with our righteousness status in heaven. It's got everything to do with our walk on earth and our ability to see the kingdom come. See, we trust in that blood that was shed. That's it. The power of the blood. It's a radical thing. In 3CR, there's a lady. She's a high-level advocate. And she made an error of judgment that has now put her on the wrong side of the law. And she sits in the dock. And she cannot defend herself. Years and years of training. Years and years of studies. Years and years of practicing. And in this court case, she's got to sit in the dock. She's got to keep her mouth closed because she cannot argue for herself. And it's exactly the same as all of us. We think we can argue, we can justify, we can tell the stories. One area of judgment, who do I need? I need Jesus. And he says, I will be your mediator. I will hold you. Seek first and all those things will be added. You see, that's where the trust factor kicks in. That's the hurdle in our relationship with God. So as I can seek first, now seek ye first. It's a nice song. And you know what? This prayer, our Lord's prayer prayed without a revelation of the kingdom of God, without a revelation of sonship, actually is very easy to say. But when it's real and it's deep and it's illuminated to us, it's a challenge. Hallowed be thy name. I will trust you, God. Thy kingdom come, your authority, not mine. Thy will be done, your desires, your dreams, not mine. And the problem is most enter in at the point because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me except through me. Another way of saying this, no one enters the kingdom of heaven except through Jesus. The problem is the door is painted so small to most. There's this little door. And the idea in most people's heads, and unfortunately much preaching, is that behind that little door is an even smaller door, and a smaller door, and a smaller door, because Christianity is going to make you small. It's going to keep you in the boxes. That's right. A lot of us thought that. I've got to go through this little door, and there's another door, and he's going to conform me to Jesus, and eventually I'm going to be so perfect, and there's this little door, but my world's going to get small. Do you know what the root word in Hebrew for salvation is? It's a word called yasa. Y-A-S-A. You've probably preached this along the way somewhere. And it means a wide or roomy place. Not narrow and constricted. Not smaller and smaller doors. It says you go through this door that is Jesus. One door of faith, one door everything in. You go through that door, and on the other side is wide and roomy. I promise you, that is the promise of the gospel. It is the root word for the liberation. It is the root word for emancipation. It is the root word for preservation. The same thing, yes, sir. It's used 350 times in the Old Testament, particularly through the Exodus, as God was setting his people free and delivering them. He's taking them to wide and open spaces. And even us as believers, as we go in the door and we keep that thinking, we think Christianity is going to keep me smaller and smaller. And God's saying, son, daughter, I didn't put my glory inside of you to hide you away so that no one can see my glory. I put my glory inside of you so you can be big, so you can stand up with your shoulders back and your head up high. In any circumstance, when the storms come or it's perfect on the beach, you stand high. We have to preach this. We have to tell people that the promise of the kingdom life is not to be kept in a small space. The promise of a kingdom life is that he takes us and he sets us in spacious places. He wants your marriage in a spacious place. And you know why? Because of salvation he can do it. Not because the number of courses you've been on, because of nothing else, because of the power of the blood of Jesus. He wants your parenting in a spacious place. He wants your finances in a spacious place. Not all things. Now we just hold on to the all things. Seek ye first. First. This is the challenge of the gospel. This gospel's challenging. It's challenging. I get very challenged by first. First sometimes, first on a Sunday, first on a Wednesday night, first on a Friday. No, first. When you wake up, when you're sleeping, when you're in the middle of the day, seek ye first. When you're making decisions how to run your business and money's got tight, do you run to God and say, God, open up so I don't have to cut jobs? Is that your first response? Or is first response, let's cut the jobs? These are the realities of kingdom living. You know, I've seen so many baptisms, and I'm about to land. I've seen so many baptisms. I've seen toupees come off. I've seen wigs go flying. I've seen women scream as they got dunked, which we saw again today. But there's something you always see. You see people approach the baptism, the promise of life with Jesus, the promise of washed clean, the promise of the fullness of righteousness upon, the promise of all these things, the promise of a life beyond. We look at these and the first thing that happens is the rings come off, put on the side. Look, it's a bit rougher in Durban. We do it at North Beach with the waves pounding. So maybe not a bad idea. But I think rings symbolize intimacy, symbolize our relationships. So we say, Jesus, you first, but not in my relationships. And we put it to the side. And fancy watches get taken off because they don't want to get lost in the sea. They don't want to get wet. They get put to the side and say, Jesus, you first, but you can't have my time. And then the wallets come out and they got money in them. And they, oh, there's a tiger stoked. And the cards and there's this, our wealth. See, Jesus, you first. And will you give me my daily bread? But we're going to put our wealth aside. And we're not going to sow and we're not going to be generous. We're just going to store up. But can you keep bringing your kingdom in my life? And then the cell phones come out. And they're in the pockets and they get put aside because it's all our status. It's all these elements that get put aside. It's all our connections to the world. It's our influence. And lastly, all the fancy clothes come off. They all get taken off and you get your worst T-saves on. Those short little ugly pants that guys wear. Are we allowed to ban T-saves? No, that would be wrong. But all the fancy clothes that symbolize our status and position in life come off. And we say, Jesus, you first, but you can't have my time, you can't have my money, you can't have my status, you can't have my relationships, and you can't have those I hold most intimately to my heart. My marriage, my children, you can't have them. I'll do anything for you, but I won't give my children to you. I won't let my children go to third nations of this world. My kids will go to private school. They will do the things that I've worked hard to create. And you know what happens? The door remains small, and the space on the other side remains small, and we get disappointed with God down the line because we think salvation was the small place. And he just asked one thing. He said, would you seek first the kingdom of God? It's a radical, radical thing, this gospel. And I want the full grace. You know, my favorite preacher, Rory Dyer, describes the grace of God like the Niagara Falls. It just keeps pouring. Just keeps pouring. It never stops. It never runs out of water. There is power that could generate and light up cities. And it just pours and it pours and it pours. And it pours over each of those people that got baptized today. It pours over you. It pours over me. And he has no stopcock to stop that flow. But he gives us one. And he says, will you seek first? This gospel is challenging. And I wanted all of it. So we stand at the water's edge like Jesus stood. And the Father asked Jesus, son, will you do your will? Will you do my will? Will you be whipped? Will you be beaten? Will you have chunks pulled out of you? And Jesus says, Father, I love you. Father, I want your kingdom. And he steps in to this pond. And he says, son, will you take everything that's dear to you? Will you, your body that is so close to you, will you give it to me? He says, Father, I want everything. This life, this kingdom life is more than healings. It's more than prosperity. It's so much bigger. Those things are so small. It is intimacy with Jesus. It is a life that is different. It is the promise of the gospel. Kingdom is the grid at which I look at everything. When I look at my children and I see sacrifices that they're making so we can follow, I say, Father, they're in your hands. They're not in my hands. When we left the corporate world, my best friend, who loves me, his very first question to me was, how are you going to send your kids to private school? And he loves me, so he asked me the deepest question inside of his heart. And I had to say, I probably won't. But God's still king. And if I show them first, I will seek him. If I show them first, all we're doing is we're sitting in the grace of God. We're going into Jesus. And we're saying, Father, like your son, we avail ourselves and we can pray, seek first the kingdom. And we're free. And we're in space. And the promise of the gospel becomes real. And earthly things that are worth so little in eternity come into perspective. And we begin to walk a road. You know, there's one road in the Bible. There's one name. It's called Straight Street. And Jesus puts us on Straight Street. And he says, fly. He says, sons and daughters, fly. And so we get immersed in water, not dipped in water. not sprayed, immersed, because everything is his. Everything. This is the gospel. I don't know what a better picture for it. I feel like getting wet. You might not remember one scripture today. You might not even remember the faces of the baptisms. I was so incredibly moved as men and women put their lives and stepped into something that is different to this world. But I want to live this gospel where people are in space, where the promise of the gospel is, you know what, there might be some suffering. Your children might have operations. But we're going to keep trusting for healing. We're going to increase trusting for eyes to be open. We're going to keep trusting for breakthrough to come in every situation and everything. Because God is King and God is Lord over all. Can I pray for you? Is that all right? Will you stand with me? This carpet's going to get wet. I'm walking on the carpet. If this resounds, I want to pray now. If you are here and you don't know the love of Jesus, I want to ask you to respond to him. I'm not going to tell you that everything will be good from this day forward. I'm not going to tell you that days will be easy, but I will tell you that there will be power that will enter you, power from heaven to earth that will enter you and allow you to walk through, to stand, and to go into a glorious space with Jesus. Can you just turn your heart to him now? You don't even need to show me. Just respond to him. And then if you are here and you said, I've made that decision, but I struggle to go in with my wallet and I struggle to go in with my keys, symbolizing my intimacies, my relationships, and I struggle to get in with my watch and my time. I can't give Jesus my time. Time is money. I can't give Jesus my time. I can't spend half an hour with him in the morning, in the evening, at midnight, because time is money and I got to sleep. I can't give him my fancy clothes because what will people think? I went to a rich school, a poor school. What would people think? I come from high echelons of society. I come from low echelons of society. What will people think? And he says this simple promise straight from the mouth of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Can you respond to him? I don't know how you respond, but I pray, Jesus, now. Your grace abounds and flows and flows and flows so powerfully. I pray, shatter smallness in this place. Right now, all eyes are closed. If you've got smallness in any of these areas, you struggle to give your time to people, you struggle to give your money to God, not just in the church, but in sowing generously to the poor and the needy in our society, you struggle to give him your relationships, some mothers, even your children. You struggle to trust God with your children. I'm asking you at this time to step into the fullness of the gospel. You see, there's no half measures in the gospel. There's just fullness. It's not wild, radical Christianity, but it exceptionally is wild, radical Christianity. I pray, Jesus, for grace to flood this place now. I pray for courage. For those that have been hurt, even deceived financially in the past, I pray for courage for people to open their wallets and give to their families, to give to the poor, to give to the broken, to pour into your kingdom. Where men and women have had time stolen, even by churches, even by ministry, I pray give courage to begin to sow again and walk in the calling that you gave. I pray courage in this place. I pray strength in this place. I pray saturate us in your grace, God. Saturate us. And break the chains now that hold. Break the smallness. Break the spiritual eyes. Open the spiritual eyes. Open the spiritual ears. We worship you, King and Lord of all.